Hey campers, how's it hanging? I hope you all had the best Halloween this year, whether you were the one handing out the candy or walking with the kids, or even if you just put a bowl of candy out there and then you stayed inside and watched all your favorite scary movies. I'm just hoping that you had a good one. Mine was actually filled with a little bit of all those things, and I couldn't have asked for a better night to celebrate this spooky holiday. Of course, I am your host, Dylan, and you are now listening to another episode of Campfire Adventures. Shout out to all the listeners out there in podcast land. I'm here with the boys. We're chilling around the portable campfire, and I'm in my room because I have a bit of a cold. So in order not to, you know, mess anybody else up, except for our live audience member, Patrice.
Hey!
Because he's the only one brave enough to be around me right now. We're going to rest up and we're going to have an intimate Campfire Adventures moment in my room this week. So with that said, it's time for us to grab our drinks. Oh man, I kind of spilled a little everywhere. That's okay. Yes, we're drinking champagne and I'll tell you why later. But we're sitting around the portable campfire, and it's time for us to get into this week's episode. For this week's episode, I really wanted to keep our theme of scary movies going a little longer, but since we already passed Halloween, I knew it was going to have a plot twist to it.
It's about scary turkeys.
I wish. That's the Thanksgiving episode. Well, so I asked, you know, some people, and I asked them what they thought, like, you know, how could I keep this going during November and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, a friend of mine, Nicole, gave me a great idea about covering a story associated with the Day of the Dead, also known as Día de los Muertos. And I feel like I don't know much about this holiday aside from watching the movie Coco.
Is that what that movie's about?
You didn't watch it?
No, I never watched it.
Okay, so we should all watch it. Maybe that'll be our movie Monday that we do for this episode, is watch Coco. But I feel like that movie really sums up the main ideas of this holiday pretty well, in addition to also being a really good movie. But for those of you who might not be 100% familiar with it, let me share my limited knowledge of Día de los Muertos. So basically, in Latin America, there's a holiday, which we've already established, is Día de los Muertos. And I know it might seem a lot like Halloween, because that's also what I thought. I was like, oh, it's just a different type of Halloween. But basically, it's a time to connect with the spirits of family and friends that have passed on to the spirit world. And on November 1st, and a few days later, depending on what you believe in, the separation between the two worlds is lifted and the spirits are able to cross back over into the living world to be connected and close to their families and their loved ones. So as preparations, families have a shrine made up in their home called ofrendas, which they have pictures and food and drinks and offerings all around for their people to come through and enjoy. And then it's basically a total celebration for these families and spirits together. But it doesn't just stop there. Grave sites get all decked out with candied skulls and beautiful marigold flowers, and stories are shared from one another about the good times had between both the living and the spirits from the other side. So it's a really big festival, like a good time for everybody. And now remember, my knowledge is pretty limited. And if you want to get to my level, then I highly recommend you all watching the movie Coco from Disney. I think that we should watch it on Monday as a movie Monday kind of thing. But that's neither here nor there. So watch the movie, you know, just besides the fact that it's a good movie, but it does lay everything out pretty nicely. And if I got anything wrong and any of you out there have a little bit more knowledge than I, just let me know and we can fix it. No problem.
I could have sworn that they were peonies and not marigolds.
I may not know my flowers, but I know a bee when I see one.
gold.
Patrice! Okay, sorry for the interruption, but if you know where that's from, then you're cool. If not, then check out your Facebook and your Instagram reels. But anyway, so we'll watch the movie on Monday. And like I said, if I got anything wrong, then just let me know. We can fix that. But so this all sounded pretty great when I was listening to it. You know, I'm going for this great story that's a little bit different than Halloween, but not so different. So I'm like, perfect. We'll get into Dia de los Muertos and we'll look for the story. So I took some of these findings, and I think that one of the things that people also do during this time, like I said, is share stories from past generations with the kids. And that's just in hopes that maybe we can learn something from the past. And if nothing else, then keep these stories alive for future generations to enjoy. And so I found a story that I've never heard of, and one that I think might fit perfectly in our podcast catalog. So for this week's episode, which I'm recording and sharing with you on the first day of Dia de los Muertos, it's the story of La Shtabai. That's how it goes. Trust me, I've looked into this as much as I possibly can, and the only way that it's been pronounced is La Shtabai. So I'd also like to stress this, is that I am not proficient or even slightly able to speak Spanish. I might listen to some Spanish jams, but while I'm listening there, I'm making up a whole different language completely. Like, it's Dylan-ish, and it just works. But I just like to say that, so you please don't judge me while I'm trying to say these names. And on top of that, these names are from Mayan descent. They're not just any regular names just in Spanish that I'm not being able to pronounce. They're also of Mayan descent, so there's a little bit more. And I've asked people to help me pronounce them correctly, but we've gotten to this. So we're going to do our best. And so like I said, this is the story of La Shtabai. So the legend goes like this. Picture it. Many, many years ago in the Yucatan Peninsula. And sidebar, for those of you who are just like me and you have no idea where this is, picture the part of Mexico where Cancun is. And it's basically the separating piece of land between the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean Sea. Hmm. Now, if you're also like me and you still have no idea what this is, then don't worry, because I'm going to put a picture on the website so you can definitely figure out what I'm talking about. But like I said, many, many years ago, picture it, the Yucatan Peninsula, there lived a village with two sisters. Now, they weren't just the whole population, but specifically we're talking about two sisters that lived in this village. And their lives couldn't be more different than one another's could possibly be. The one thing that they had in common, though, was that their beauty was beyond comparison to any other woman in the town.
Oh, really?
So sister number one, which I might call her if that name gets a little too hard for me to keep saying, but her name was Shkiban. Okay, I'd like to say that the name is spelled...
So
it's Xkeban. The X sound in Mayan language is pronounced sh. So if I'm going to say the name right, it's Shkiban. I mean, I might be pronouncing it with a different influx, but the X makes an SH sound. So anyway, so the name that I'm saying is Shkiban. So she was known as a giving person who would do anything she could to help people and animals in need. And in addition to any of this, she was pretty popular with her love life. And of course, on the dating scene. I don't know how else to say this, but I'm not...
Tinder?
Yeah, the equivalent of that back then. So I'm not here to judge anyone, but it sounds like she knew that she had it going on. And if that was what she wanted to do, then who the hell are we to judge, right? She's a good person, going around doing stuff for the children and the animals. Just because she is popular doesn't mean anything, right?
I'm judging.
Well, keep that in mind. So we shouldn't care. If that's what she wanted to do, then hey, whatever. And I'd like to say that for the most part of the people listening, I hope that you're agreeing with me. But the people in the town didn't think that way. They saw her as a sinner who was only known for being promiscuous. Never mind the fact that she did so much good stuff in the community. They just saw her as a sinner.
Mm-hmm. That's people for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't changed a bit.
Judgmental, even all those many, many years ago. Now, on the other hand, the second sister, Utzkolel.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me tell you, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. So I'll try that again, but it's Utzkolel. I'm pretty sure. And if anything, she was known for being pure of any type of her sister's extracurricular activities, if that makes sense. So she didn't participate in those promiscuous actions like her sister.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the do-gooderness.
That as well, actually. Yeah, she didn't do that either. She was an
evil person.
She wasn't a bad person. No, she was known in the community. She was upstanding. Upstanding. She was revered. And her life choices were to not do anything like her sister. And she was also known for her beauty, that of which we already know. But while she was riding high on that high horse of hers, she didn't see the appeal of doing anything for anyone other than herself. And that's how she lived the majority of her life. Now, the townspeople didn't care so much for the seemingly uppity attitude of Utz Kolel, but they didn't want her sister around at all. Like, it seemed like they always were on the verge of starting some angry type of mob to drive her out of town. And it didn't stop Shikiban from wanting to do all the good stuff that she wanted to do. Like, regardless with how they felt about her and when they considered her a sinner, she was like, well, I'm here to do good for people. You know, I might have it going on and I might go on dates every now and again, but I can't help it if I'm popular. And I understand the struggle. So anyway, one day the people realized that they hadn't seen Shikiban for over a week. And so they wondered, like, well, what could have happened to that sinner that we know as the sister of the very prominent Utz Kolel, right? So they started to search for her, and they ended up finding her laying dead in her home. But she wasn't alone. On the floor around her were said to be animals and flowers, and these flowers gave off the most alluring sweet scent imaginable. It was a sight to see, but people still wouldn't get over the fact that she lived her life the way that she did. So nobody was allowed to touch her except for the poor people and the homeless. They figured that her class and status was so low in their viewpoint that the only people, like, who would, like, be able to touch her would be them. So they picked her up and they took her to a grave and they buried her. And immediately after they covered her body, the same flowers that were found around her corpse started to grow over the gravesite. And these flowers were known as Shtebentun. Let me tell you guys, I'm doing the best I can. Shtebentun. And these flowers were supposed to be beautiful. They smelled beautiful. They looked beautiful. It just seemed like, I don't know, the perfect way for her to end her life, where people didn't view her like that, but she did all those things that were nice and good for people, where she would be rewarded with beauty in the end regardless, right? So it sounds amazing, but that wouldn't last because her sister, well, I don't know what to say, but she wasn't impressed by the smell or the growth or the sweet scent of these flowers. And she thought, since she was so highly revered, that she would have an even better flower grow when she passed, and an even sweeter smell, because she was like, my sister's just a sinner, you know, and look at how great this happened when she passed. Well, I'm such a pure spirit, I'm such a vision of virtue, that when I pass, my bed of flowers would be that much better. Like, over 10 times better, her sister's, right? Well, she would get her wish, and she soon died as well. Only when people noticed, it wasn't because of a sweet smell, it was because of a bitter, more toxic smell that was being given off from her body. They buried her, and everybody in town was there to watch. They were in the presence of the most virtuous person that they knew being buried. But legend has it that once they covered her grave with flowers, they placed flowers down on her, that they all died. And instead of flowers growing in their place, a cactus called Tesakam grew. And this cactus, it's one of those small ones that are super spiky, that have those little purple flowers on top. Well, it's said that those flowers are very, like, toxic and bitter smelling. And so when she died, this grew in the place of where her body was. And it just, to me, seemed a little bit more fitting for her attitude, because she cast judgment and, like...
It sounds like she was very rigid.
Very rigid and prudish. Like, they said she died without ever going to bed with anyone. Which, I mean, if you want to do that, that's completely fine. But it was just like, she felt like doing that was better than what her sister did. But with her sister, I feel like if you compare the two, with what she did, she was showing that there was beauty on the outside, because not only was she gorgeous, she also was a really nice person. And I don't think that the town saw it like that either. You know, nobody saw it like that. So it was a shock to everybody. But it seemed like, when I read the story, so much more fitting. And so, I mean, not that she deserves to have Cactus Grove where she was or anything like that, but this is how the legend goes, and this is why I'm telling it. Anyway, so y'all probably listening to this and you're thinking like, okay, well, there was drama like there is now so many years ago. And yeah, the answer is yes, that there was drama, but you're all here for a story for Campfire Adventures. So where's that story? Well, don't worry, because we're going to keep going into this and it's going to get there. Okay, so Utskalel, right? She passes. She figures out, like, nobody really cared about her. She figures out that where she passed and in her gravesite grew those cactus with those bad-smelling flowers. And she was like, this doesn't make sense. I'm not a sinner. I'm the best thing to come out of this world since sliced bread. Some might even say even better than Betty White. I mean, I don't know who would say that, but I wouldn't.
You know, this reminds me of somebody.
Who?
Her name starts with an L and ends with a Y.
We'll leave that open to interpretation. Anyway, so she's upset that, like, hey, I did everything right. I was a good person. I was pure of heart, like she said, and she didn't do what her sister did. But still, she was left behind with something less than ideal and not a sweet-smelling flower. You know, she wasn't beauty on the inside and wasn't beauty on the outside. So what she did was she ended up talking to some dark and evil spirits.
Nice.
And she was like, I need a second chance. I need a second chance, and I'm going to do everything that I didn't get a chance to do the first time around. So the evil spirits were more than happy to make a deal with her. And so they gave her a second life. And this time she was known as Stavai, which is what I told you the story was going to be called. She wanted to differentiate herself from her sister, and she also wanted her own identity. But now when she'd walk along Earth, she would be seen as a beautiful woman with dark, long black hair, big, dark black eyes, and she'd walk around in a white dress. And what she'd do is she'd wait in the jungle and go lure unsuspecting men to come with her and have some fun and some extracurricular activities.
That sounds like a trap I might fall for.
So people would fall. Beautiful young lady coming out. There was a story that I read where it was this whole ordeal where this man actually followed her back to the tree and whatever, but I couldn't trace whether it was true or not. But basically, what happens is she walks around looking for men, and when she gets the opportunity, she goes over and seduces them. And she's like, just come back to my place. You know, what's the big deal, right? And they're like, why not? Like, let's do this thing. So they walk back, and she ends up taking you into the jungle. And they go a little bit further, and she takes you to a very unique kind of tree, at least to me. It's called the Ceiba tree. It's like a tree that has, like, cotton on it, but the base of the tree, the trunk, is full of, like, spikes.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
And I'm going to post a picture on the website so you have an idea of what it looks like. But it's this big, giant, grand tree with these giant roots. And I feel like she goes there because it's connected to both sides of the spirit world, but also our Earth. And so she goes there and she lures her victims there. And when they think that they're ready to do what they're going to do with this young lady, she transforms into a snake and she bites them. And then she rips their hearts out.
Don't they all turn into snakes?
So after she's done ripping your heart out, she pushes you down a well. And the well is a portal that leads you to the underworld. But there you are without a soul. So now she's forced to roam the rest of her life, I guess the rest of her existence as this lady in white, going around luring and seducing unsuspecting men until they follow her back to this tree. And when she gets her opportunity, she gets you. And that's the legend of the...
Chupacabra.
No. And that's the legend of La Stavai. It's definitely interesting. It definitely sounds like a folklore, like an urban legend myth kind of thing. Like, similar to the same idea of, like, La Llorona. That story came up a lot, too, when I was looking up stories with Dia de los Muertos. La Llorona, the woman who's weeping for her children. You know, the one that we did. I think that's episode 9, if I'm correct. Which is pretty cool. If I was, let me know. But this is a different interpretation of a story where you think that you do everything right, right? But then you hold yourself to such a high standard that it's so unrealistic. And when you don't get the return result that you thought that you'd get, because somebody else does something that you don't view as, I don't know, ideal? Like, who the hell are you to judge? So maybe the moral of the story is just don't judge anybody and just worry about yourself and do what you know that's right. That would be a nice. But anyway, this is the episode I'd like to share with you for Dia de los Muertos. And if you've heard of it before, then let me know. And if I forgot something or didn't say something correctly, like maybe the names that I tried to attempt a thousand times. But at least I tried. That's what matters, right?
No. There's no, what's it called? Participation trophy here.
Welcome to 2022. There are participation trophies. Anyway, so this is a story that I wanted to share. We're going to watch Coco on Monday. And then I also told you that we're drinking champagne. And so the reason we're drinking champagne is because my birthday is coming up. And it's also November 1st when we're recording this episode. So I figured we'd start November 1st with some champagne to kick off the party for my birthday. So cheers to that. I have something special planned. And if I can make it happen for the birthday, then we're going to make it happen. But I appreciate you all out there in podcast land for listening. I appreciate my live audience of the boys and Patrice being here.
Check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Also, Skeety's here, my cat. Say hi, Mom. She's sleeping. Anyway, so cheers to our adventures. Yes, we call our cat Mom.
Yes, we do.
And I hope you enjoyed the story of Dia de los Muertos, and I hope you enjoy watching the movie Coco when you watch it. So check us out. You'll see our Facebook and Instagram at Campfire Adventures Podcast, and then you can see all of our source material, more pictures like of the Yucatan Peninsula, on our website at www.campfireadventurespodcast.com. And if you are listening to this in the morning or the evening, I hope you have a good morning or a good evening. And with that said, I'm going to say goodbye. So bye.
Bye.
Meow. Oh, Mom.